Now, listen to him. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And, you know, Paul is quoting, actually, from Psalm 44:22 here. He says, yea, this is the psalm now, yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, this is a frightful picture of the saints in this day of grace. Is it true? We believe, I believe with all my heart, that this is the attitude of a satanic system toward the child of God, even in this hour. And I think the history of the church reveals that this is true. You stand for God today, and it'll cost you something. I worked as a boy in an abattoir, that is, the Swift Packing Company bought this place. It is a slaughterhouse for cattle. We kill cattle, sheep, and hogs. The first day to me was the most sickening experience I ever had. We killed about 100 sheep there. My job was to work right next to the man that took a sharp knife and cut the little sheep's throat. And to see animals slaughtered by the hundreds to me was a frightful spectacle. And I got so sick I had to go outside, sit down in the air. The superintendent was a friend of my family's, and I was just a kid. I was about 15 years old, and he told me to go outside and sit down because he knew what generally happened to a new person that came in there to work. My friend, I thought of that. It's sickening today to see what's happening to some of the saints of God, and they today are enduring this, and he says that we're going to be that way, but this won't separate you from the love of God. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved him. Now, how can a sheep for the slaughter be more than a conqueror? And this is another wonderful paradox of the Christian faith. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It means to have assistance from another who gets the victory for us and never lets us be defeated because he gets the victory. The victory belongs to Christ and not to us. The victorious life is not our life. It's his life. Now he says, I'm persuaded. That means he knows that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come are going to be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And notice now some of the things he mentions. Death. Death can't separate us from him. In fact, it'll take us into his presence. That's what Chrysostom said when the emperor tried to frighten him. He said, I'll put you to death. And he says, I'll thank you for it because you're going to transport me right into the presence of the Savior. Can't hurt a man like that. And life. Life won't separate. Actually, friends, if he took us out of the world right immediately and he took me right now, it'd be great. But the interesting thing is that it's more difficult to face life than it is to face death. Face life with its temptations, failures, disappointments, uncertainties, and suffering. But that won't separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. And angels can't. And I think he means fallen angels. And principalities, these are spiritual enemies and powers. I don't have time to go into all of that. Things present, that means present circumstances. Things to come, that refers to the future. Nothing in the future, friends. And neither height nor depth. That's the space age in which we live. I don't want to travel in space. But you say he put our sins as far as the east is from the west, and the sinner will be separated from God. That's a second death. That's spiritual death. That's eternal death. But you see, he's put our sins way out yonder, but not us. And space can't separate us from it. And he says here, nor any other created thing, anything you want to mention, can ever separate us from the love of God, and that love is centered in Christ.